The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
Hello, world. This is Trish Adora, your Pan-African World Diaspora Champion, and you are listening to John Orlando on the PVDcast.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVDcast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 306. I hope all is well with you, and I really do appreciate the fact that you're checking out this episode of the PVDcast. Now, this episode has quite a history to it. Actually, it took place about a month ago at the Monroe Pop Fest. As I had mentioned on the PVDcast, I got the opportunity to help put together some of the panels, and this panel was entitled Sports in Comics, and it featured myself along with my co-host, Tim Beisiegel from the Pop Culture Addicts podcast, as well as Funny Science Fiction podcast. Tim and I sat down with independent comic book creator Dom Riggio, who is the man behind Mess Bucket Comics, and Detroit Red Wings legend, Darren McCarty. And this conversation was just really fascinating, really good. And so I'm sharing it here on the PVDcast. Just give you a little bit of background on Dom Riggio real quick. As I mentioned, he is the man behind Mess Bucket Comics, but he has a comic book line called Donnybrook, which is all about hockey. And Donnybrook number 3, it's the third book in season 1, is currently got an Indiegogo campaign going for it to help fund it. Check out the links over on my website, pvdcast.com. You can find some information about it again on the Facebook page. Again, that's at pvdcast. And you know what? If you get the opportunity, you know, help Dom out. Plunk down a few bucks and become part of the Donnybrook universe. And he's got all kinds of great perks. Just go over, check it out. Of course, he also has a couple other things going on over there that are more wrestling related. He's written a great comic called Rowdy Roddy Piper, The Kilted Avenger. He has another one in the works, Davy Boy Smith, The British Bulldog, UK Defender as well. So we talk about that. Darren shares his philosophy on life and on podcasting, you know, hockey, obviously. I will say this, that the audio quality is not as pristine as it normally is for an episode of the PVDcast. Just the acoustics of the room, and we were using some different equipment and whatnot. I hope that that doesn't diminish your enjoyment, though, of this episode, because it's one heck of a great episode. But I felt the need to throw that out there real quick. I also need to probably explain to some folks what the term bag skate means, because you're going to hear it quite a bit in our conversation with Dom and Darren. A bag skate is kind of a punishment, if you will, from a hockey coach. If he or she feels that maybe the team hasn't given it its all in a game, then basically they're skated a lot. They do a lot of like suicides, a lot of hard skating, a lot of skating drills. That's what a bag skate refers to. The term bag is because basically way back when it was the coach's determination that I'm going to make this team skate so hard they're going to want to puke into a bag. And so ergo, the terminology stuck, bag skate, ladies and gentlemen. But before you hear our conversation with Dom and Darren, I need to take care of some business. And that is, of course, reminding you about the great sponsor of the PVDcast, World's Greatest Comics. They are the one-stop shop for all your comic book-related needs. They've got single issues, graphic novels, collections, toys, collectibles, posters, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues. So if you need a comic book store to call your very own, to spend your hard-earned money at, well, there's none better than World's Greatest Comics. If you're in the Central Ohio area, they're easy to find. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. But you could still check out the store if you're outside the Central Ohio area. They have a great website, wgcomics.com, and they're even on Facebook. Just check out at WG Comics. And, you know, do me a favor. If you interact with anybody from the store, whether live in person or over the internet, please let them know that you heard about the store from me, John Orlando, right here on the PVD Cast. All right, with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, you're going to hear Tim and I talking to Dom Riggio and Darren McCarty.
How's everybody doing?
Good.
Everybody having a good time? Enjoying a few days. How's the podcast going?
Good. This is our brand new one. We host two. My co-host is back there in the purple shirt. That's Kathleen.
We did meet.
Yeah, and so Kathleen's my co-host.
Once a week, couple times?
We go once a week right now. We literally just started Pop Culture Addicts, so our first interview was with, we interviewed Carol Baskin from Tiger King.
Carol Baskin!
And you know what I did? It was
Jesus. Goddamn Carol, kill your husband, Carol! You fed him to the goddamn Tigers. You play the Carol Baskin song for her? You might be my new favorite podcast if you play Carol Baskin.
No, I unfortunately Carol Baskin's favorite podcast.
That's right out of wrestling.
No, we thought about it.
Okay, at least listen. That's all I can ask for. That I can be a fan of your podcast. As long as you thought about it.
Did you hum it
in your head when you were...
Here's the greatest part of the show for me anyway. It was that we were talking to her, and she's talking to us about how she's got this Oculus thing for the Tigers where you can watch the Tigers eat and stuff. She's like, she says, I can't put people in cages, but I can put this machine in the cage. She says, because the Tigers will eat you bone and all. And at my head, I edited out, but my head in the original recording shot up like a deer hearing a twig snap. And then I was
I'm going to say, Darren McCarty, she did it. And you know what the key was? On the Oculus, I saw that goddamn tiger. Lick his paws.
She's like, yeah, the Tigers will eat everything, bones and all. And I went,
well, does that not somebody feel a little bit confident in the judicial system?
She's like, I can't put a person in there because the tiger will eat them, bones and all.
Well, I asked this and all this because, so, I have a podcast. My favorite second word is hiatus. Because Grindr is coming off hiatus, the band has been in hiatus.
Yes.
Like, it's shelved, right? And I had to shelve Grind Time because say what it is, but I don't have what I want. Like, as far as the accessibility to have the conversation. So, with everything else I have going on, right? Everything else is going to get me back to doing what I want, which is Grind Time, like I'm telling Don. So, I'm in the midst between the cannabis and all this other to get a tour bus with a full studio to be able to do, but like you said, but it's about, like, I'm all about the Grind Time, Darren McCarty. When somebody used to ask me what, because I say, what is, and I'll ask you this after, because if I go away from it, I'll forget.
You're fine.
Is the fact that it's about the why. I used to say, it's about whatever I want to talk about, my name's on it. No, but it's about the why. I don't need to know right or wrong. Morally, I can figure that out, but I need to know what's the why, right? Like, most successful people, their why, the why they got there, what do they put in? Hard work. We can all look at each other and go, yeah, you know, true. But the why of not only why you do things, but the little shit like that where I ask, right, would be my question. Well, was there any part of that interview, right, if you didn't have it, I'd always want to know, did you think about playing the song? And if you thought about it, I mean, good. We're in sick. Fucking sense of humor the same way because or did you hum it, but then you tell me that nugget there and I'm like, that's fucking, like, to me that's what it's all about, because right, wrong, or different, and it's avenues to like that's pop, if that's not pop culture, I don't know what it is. So I ask you, pop culture addicts, right? What is pop culture addicts?
Pop culture addicts is just a show where we talk about anything that we want to talk about, because it's anything in the world is pop culture. Hockey's pop culture. Religion's pop culture. Sports of any kind is pop culture. Movies are pop culture. Comic books are pop culture. It's something that influences you from an outside source, where it helps you to make a decision. Where, you know, why? Okay, so you know, so not you, but why does somebody wear Red Wings stuff? Because they're a fan. Because something from pop culture. It's something that's affected their life in a way that's helped them to make a decision.
Connection, right?
Yeah.
It's that connection. It brings not what it's all and whatever it is to nail what it is.
Welcome.
It's find your tribe.
Have a seat.
Right. Your tribe. Right? That's why I want to be Joe Gibbs or Weed and Wrestling in this state or whatever like that, is because those are my tribes. This is my tribe. You guys are my tribe. The one that has compassion, because you want to, I don't know. Does anybody else feel connected when we all laugh and you tell us that joke that fuck Carol Baskin fed her husband to the tiger? I'm for sure of it now. I was 99.9999 sure, but holy shit, I'm going home from here going, goddamn, I should call my wife right now. Like, that gives me, because you know what? Because here's the thing, right? You can say whatever you want. You just have to be accountable or whatever for it. And it's funny how some different people, because I'm about, it's like the human, like connection, right? That's like when I say the people are my power and I'm a battery. Well, that's why I'm alive. I mean, you guys, everybody has always believed in me, good or bad, you know, like, oh, come on, D-Mac, this or whatever, but the fact it's always been there, right? And so now it's sort of, I don't know, dude, I love the connection, I love that shit, man. Who you got next week?
Next week we got two ladies from Sault Ste. Marie who run a company called 180 Sisterhood Productions, and we talk about how they have started in the film industry. Against gender biases and how they're working forward with everything.
And then we talk about poutine.
A hell of a lot about poutine.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Dude, no, yeah. Oh, listen, best poutine outside of Montreal, Detroit Wing Company.
Really?
Ooh, yes.
Come on.
Have you had it? Am I Canadian? Have you had Detroit? You're going to say, come on, after you just had that fucking whiny, sacky, fucking baby ass. I'm a mark for Bret Hart and CM Punk and Darby Allin and the whole 1-2-3 kid. Bret Hart, Matt from back in the day.
That is what
And you're not fucking happy CM Punk trying to stick it to Vince, and who cares what wrestling match fucking went on. I'm in a clobber time unit.
And on that note, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Sports and Comics.
I gotta say, I've never watched a hockey game in my life, but I am a fan.
Okay.
You just screw that hockey, bro. Just for the means to an end, that's the only thing I could do to get four cups and be able to score a Stanley Cup clinching goal and to be able, because it was all about getting my own cannabis.
You should do stand up.
Oh, there goes my question.
Joining us, of course, Mr. Darren McCarty, Mr. Dom Riggio from S Bucket Comics,
sure.
Tim Bicycle joining me here on the panel. I'm John Orlando. Welcome. We are here at the Monroe Pop Fest for 2021. We are having a blast here at this panel. And gentlemen, how has the con been for you, Dom and Darren?
It's been great so far. I've always liked coming to Monroe Comics. I think I've been here since year one. Other than the pandemic, I've been here every single year, and I love going back.
Cool. Darren, how's it been for you?
Absolute blast. Okay. Like I said to you before, with everything I've been through, I'm very fortunate that I get to do a lot of different things. But when I say find your tribe, mine are all out there. In the Comic-Cons, you know, in the cannabis world, in the wrestling world, so I feel at home. I've met some absolutely wonderful people here. I've seen some faces I haven't seen in a long time, but I love the vibe here. I got this absolute sick black skull lamp from Gramps Lamps. I mean, so I got my boy Rob Miller down there, who's a sci-fi artist guru that's working on the turtle sculpture and Stanley Cup stuff. So nice. Between that, oh yeah, this guy here, what's your name again? Dom Ruggiero, that's what I call him. I call him Ruggiero. Yeah. But Dom, and I'll tell you here, here's our Dom and I's connection. What year was it, 1998, PlayStation 2 has the greatest game ever, Final Fantasy VII. Yes. Footnote, they just re-released it for the PlayStation 5, right? But we used to play back in 1998. Chris Draper, Senator of the Grindmine, and I were having lunch one day. Where were we having lunch?
The Gentleman's Establishment.
Yes, exactly. Gentleman's Establishment, and having a great conversation, right, about how the Grindmine was gonna, we were gonna win back-to-back cups. When I overheard on the table next to me, guys talk about breeding chocobos. Chocobo breeding, for anybody who hasn't played Final Fantasy VII, is like the key. And if you can get the gold one, and it's like horse racing, but with chickens.
Yeah.
Pretty much, right? And I was breeding chocobos at the time, and I turned around and I looked at this guy here and I went, "You got breeding chocobos, man?" I'm like, "Oh, how do you?" And from that day, so 1998, that's a long time ago, 23 years ago, is we've been friends since and connections ever since. Dom does a great job every year for Clark Park with his frozen fish fiasco. I just so happen to be, Kenny Omega's not the only belt collector out there. I collect belts too. They happen to be hockey belts. So I have a nice different color because the Detroit Red Wing alumni plays every year. And we have a lot of fun. But so we've been buddies. And obviously with what he does with Master Bucket Comics. And I wrote a book in 2012 called My Last Fight, True Story of a Hockey Rockstar. And so fast forward to probably, what, two years ago, I had stories, and Dom was created this Donnybrook comic book, which is about minor league hockey, and I had some stories, and we were just talking, and I said, "Well, you should put this story in, and he's like, "Well, we should sit down, and you should tell me a whole bunch of stories, and what about this? What about that?" So out of this brainchild of Donnybrook and that I created, the Burnaby Blazers, a bunch of pot-smoking lumberjacks in Western Canada, and they're all huge, right? And they're big, right? Where, in my mind, I created all my favorite enforcers and guys that I played against. Like, my captain of my team is the Sheriff Scott Parker, and different guys that, in my mind, are these characters that don't have these names. So it's a different way of connection, and that's so long way to answer your story. I'm having a great time and met some great people, got some great stuff, and can't thank Gary and his family and everybody here. I think I'm fortunate to have a great friendship down here and the support from the Monroe area, but it's great to see everybody come in, and there's so much great independent art and independent artists out there. Just It's amazing to me. So I guess I'll take a breath.
Well, Dom, let's talk about Donnybrook. You're on issue 3, which the crowdfunding just went up the other day. And so can you talk a little bit about, when the campaign is over, what folks can get, whatnot? Because I know you have quite a few perks to talk about.
Right. Yeah. So this will be Season 1, Book 3 of Donnybrook. And what the way it works is we have a preseason, regular season, and postseason, just like a regular hockey season. And what we're going to have about 6 books in this season. At the end, we're going to crown the champion. We're going to have a ring ceremony and a banner-raising ceremony for whichever lucky team is going to take home the Iron League championship. So for Book 3, we just went live on Indiegogo. You can check it out at DonnybrookComicBook.com. We have all kinds of cool rewards. It ends about November 1st, somewhere around November 1st.
Okay.
I think the cool part also is that that's the conversation Dom and I were having is, it's very rarely when you're building a championship organization, like say the Detroit Red Wings, can you get on the inside or be a part of it. But the best part about, which is so important, and it was Dom, his idea all along, but it feeds into like how our principles and our intentions are aligned, is that like, how can we make the fans a part of, like get yourself into the scenes and be, you know, part of the, like if people want to be a part of this journey, right? And it's one of the things that I was talking about, I believe, because of having, you know, like I have different ideas that we should have different divisions depending on, you know, celebrities, like status, like wrestlers here in comic, but that's up to that's not my bag. I just own one of the teams. I'm like Jerry Jones, right? I'm like the most boisterous, like in the commissioner's ear the whole time. So the commissioner owns the league. It's a little bit different. It's more like WWE, right? So, right? And if the writing is like WWE, we're going to have a problem. You better not be. You better be more in it. But the bottom line, my point is that...
No one can write that good.
You know, how cool to be a part of something. And then this is not only just Donnybrook, but if, you know, to be a part of a hockey thing that you don't know where it can end up. Because one thing that was always intriguing to me about also doing my book that I wrote when December, whatever, the 150 page graphic novel was coming out, right? Where we did a lot of the same thing, where I put people into different spots that I wanted in my life. But to be a part of something, and you know, who knows where this will grow. All I know is Dom keeps making these relationships with Bret Hart and the Dynamite Kid and the Piper Foundations and all this. So the sky's the limit. It's just like building. And I said, if that's your hockey, Jones, yeah. But there's so many others out here that have different interests that to come to something like this and have the ability, you might find something that you didn't know that you were interested in. And I think that's the beauty. Love what you love, and maybe you can introduce that to somebody else. So that's whenever this part of it comes up, it's always intriguing me because and to listen to people come to the table today and talk to Dom about that who've been involved, it's cool because for me anyways, unless I can share triumph, I'll take the tragedy by myself, and I've done that enough and I'm done doing it. But if the triumph has to be enjoyed together. It's a team effort. I'm a team player, right? So I want the team around me to succeed no matter what it is. And we're all competing against with ourselves. So I can support as many things. Like, that's the whole thing is the cannabis. That's me producing whatever I want. I hope it works for you. And if it does, then it makes it easier. You can come find it. Just look for my stuff and I'll make it. It's my job there. But if not, let's find you. What works for you? It's the same thing as not everybody likes the Wasp. I don't know why, but not everybody does. Some people prefer Hawkeye. But no one's right, no one's wrong, right? That's the beauty. So I'm excited to be a part of, to see how it grows, right? Like, so I hope we're sitting here 10 years going, Dom, 10 years ago, we were sitting in Donnybrook, and yeah. Why you write such garbage?
Yes. We know that now.
Yes. We know that now, right?
And Dom, you have a ton of perks here. You know, there's one, you're a Donnybrook, where you get to kind of be an interviewer, right?
Right.
And that's one of the perks, and when I say one, I mean just that. There's one there, but you have plenty of others, like the one that's entitled Bagskate. You got an opportunity to have your name in the book because you're supporting the book.
Right.
So there's all different price points, you know, for this crowdfunding, for this Indiegogo campaign. So, you know, if you're interested, definitely, you know, find a, you know, not everybody's got, you know, $100. Times are tough sometimes, but
right.
Donate what you can. So, and we'll talk about that a little bit more towards the end, but let's keep things rolling. Tim, I know you had a couple of questions that you wanted to talk about.
Yeah, so growing up a nerd, you know, comic books were always kind of a big deal to me, and I identified with a lot with comic book characters and things like that. So for me, I always thought, man, how cool would it be to, I wish I could have drawn. Everything starts with a box or an oval and it ends up wrong.
Okay, stick guys in my specialty.
Yeah,
do you have kids?
I have three.
Do any of your kids artists? Like, can any of them?
My daughter, the one who left just a minute ago.
See, I have none.
Not really?
I have none, and I have four kids, and three of them. One of them, the youngest one's a fashion designer already.
Oh, nice.
But I'm saying, it's usually because I can't draw anything else. But
yeah,
you passed it down though. That was nice.
So with pen and paper, I can't do anything. I do computer aided stuff. I'm a logo designer. That's what I do. But you know, it's kind of, that's the day job. But so growing up, I always thought it would be cool to draw. And if I couldn't draw, I wanted to be able to draw myself into a comic book, or have someone draw a comic about me. So Dom, for you, where did the passion for drawing comics and being an artist come from? And B, Darren, what is it like for you to have yourself included, your likeness included in these stories and be involved in it?
Well, I'm a writer. I'm not an illustrator.
I knew that.
I ran out of talent. I write the books. That's all I could do. That's all they gave me. But
this is what you both have, right, is an eye. You both have an eye, because here's the difference, right? Dom might not be able to draw my captain, Mr. Manson, but he knows what he looks like.
Right.
Right. You're in the logo world. You know what you're looking for. And I think that that's a key component in creation, is that you know what you want and somebody else can create it. Dom's introduced me. I'll name Billy Tucci right off the hop, okay, who's a huge hockey fan from New York. So like a lot of these guys that are hockey fans that contribute to the illustration, whether it's to the novel or the comic book, right? There's a connection to hockey wise. So we'll chirp back and forth and have that connection. But I think that you sell yourself short but you know what you want. So Dom knows what he's looking for, and to answer the question before I get back to it, it's cool as hell. It's cool as hell, because I'll tell you right now, that absolutely story in the Donnybrook second book on the bus happened, except I was nicer in the book and allowed everybody to get out of the bathroom with whatever clothes they could find. We had to put our own clothes on, so we had to go back and forth into the bathroom until you had your clothes back on. So that's just a little segue to it. So that's the artistic change, right? But it's cool, because I think that for people that want to enjoy, and the one thing that I really enjoy about the book, it's an adult. I grew up on, like you mentioned, but I was more of the High Times and the heavy metal. Right? Yeah, like, sure. You know what I'm saying? So those motorcycle girls and the risque. So then when you grow up around and you learn, it's not really that thing. So the fact that, there might be a penis here or there, like the wrong thing that you haven't seen, but brings to the, I don't know, what do you want to say? The grime, the
greasy,
just that's the locker room.
Yeah.
If I'm going to bring you into my world, which in that way, by giving the story, then you got to be
the greasy,
mature,
culture.
Greasy. Yeah. We like that word in hockey. That's the greasy. The greasy. You get the, it's a greasy book, bro.
Yeah.
But I mean, a lot of it's not as bad as Game of Thrones. So there you go.
Right.
They got to, like, that's just weird. Anyway. So.
That might be the quote of this panel. I'm just saying.
Yeah. It's the greasy
Lancaster.
It's a right. Greasy hockey culture.
Greasy hockey culture that you get. Because here's the best part, right? And a lot of this stuff is like, I always revert back, and I don't know if you guys do, but like my boys growing up. And like my teenage, like my crew growing up with my hockey guys or whatever, they laugh at this, because it's mostly like junior stuff, which is like, and it's nothing that isn't, I guess, some of it, I guess you wouldn't be able to understand because we were raised differently, but everything in there wasn't any violation or hazing or anything that it was outside the culture. Does that make sense? Like,
oh, yeah,
so it was the like I said, you had to go in the bathroom and and there was seven of you, and it was hot, and you had to strip down to your boxers, and they tied your clothes up, and they threw it in. You had to untie them and get dressed all in there. Like, but that's sort of rite of passage. And I think that the rite of passage, I guess, if it was acceptable, will be in Donnybrook.
It's weird to an outsider. Like, that's not a normal thing you do on a
bus. Well, it's sort of like watching, and it's and this is why with the grind time, Dan McCarty, like also too with Dom, but we got Team Valhalla, because my right hand, or Operation Valhalla, my right hand man, Nick Antonucci, is an Army guy. But, you know, like, Army guys and athletes and stuff, that they, or military, it's that camaraderie mentality. So I don't agree with slapping guys on the ass, but they do that in football or baseball or whatever like that. And Nick's got a fucking bad habit of fucking trying to do that. So I mean, it's like, but here's the thing. He knows that who you can get away with and who you can't, right? Because it's sort of...
He's never slapped my ass.
Yeah, he has. You fucking, that's because you sit there with it out.
Do you think that there's something missing? Because I'm sure by now that that culture does not exist in the NHL.
No, it can't. No. Is that...
Well, the game's changed. Game's changed. Right. Training's changed. Preparation's changed. Minors have changed. The All-Star... You know why it's a different game? It's because all these kids play on the same team or know each other, play against each other since they're like 8 years old or 10 years old. There's not this hate. There's not this hate that you have against the team growing up like you did, whether maybe high school, the rivalry, right? Like I could build a hate against a certain person because you didn't know them. You know, now I think it's too, there's a fine line of separating business and pleasure. That's why wrestling's my favorite sport, because I can't be disappointed. Right? As long as it makes sense. I'm a storyline guy, so I don't have to like it, but if it makes sense, I'm good with it. But if you watch out there, and for me, being around the independent scene here, and I see so much talent with the mentality of wanting to do the work and stuff, so it's more of the togetherness that I see, and I'd rather help promote those guys who they know how to find line of beat each other up. But it's a show, right? You don't get that hatred in the game anymore. And as far as, it's just different. It's more just the I don't know if it's the my. It's just the way that it is, that there's something missing.
Okay, I'm gonna ask just to piggyback off that. I had an opportunity a few years ago to talk to Jody Shelley in Columbus.
Oh yeah,
that's where I'm at. And he presented a theory, and I'm gonna paraphrase it, that the NHL has cleaned up the game. But he feels like part of the responsibility of individuals who were quote-unquote enforcers, that they did not do anything to help their cause. That they kind of, for lack of a better term, with all due respect, rolled over and played dead when these new rules came down and when the NHL was trying to, you know, implement the new things. Do you think that's a correct statement, or do you feel like that's total malarkey?
No. I think that... How I would respond to that statement is, I think that he's got a point. The enforcer was the dinosaur. So he was going to get extinct no matter what. I think that, to his point, they didn't know that they were rolling over and dying because you're the guy on the end of the bench. Like, you're appreciated by your teammates. That's why you do what you do. But organizationally, not as much. So you're not put, because at watch how they lean it down, right? I play. I come in 93. I look at the lineup sheet. There's five guys on the other team. I play in all five. There might be one, two, right? Let the guys, right? So the game, as it cleaned it up, they didn't allow them to fight for it, right?
Yeah.
They just extinguished them. So... The ones that did survive or do survive are the ones that realize that at the younger they had to develop, because the knock against most guys that play the enforcer role is, well, they couldn't keep up with the speed. They weren't talented enough, right? Where it was something that skating was always going to keep me out of the league, right? Which everybody else said that's why I wouldn't play and whatever. But I did whatever it took, power skating, whatever, to make that not a detriment. Now, freaking looked like I was running on, but I was in the right place. you know, and then it's all time. So to Joey, to yeah, they did, but I don't think that it was like, it was never a fight they were in.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
No, like, it
never was, because the you look at as they eliminated, what they eliminated. They eliminated the rock cold killer, right? The guy that plays one shift or two shifts, you know, every time he's on the ice, he's lining up, these two guys are fighting, right? That's
right,
80s,
right.
80s hockey. 90s hockey, you had two power forwards, you had a D-man that was tough, and then you had an overall enforcer. Okay, so there's three guys, and then there's another guy that can fight to stick up, right? So there's four guys. Then it goes to how they change the game, and they make it so they weren't in a position.
Okay.
When you're the last guy of a 20-man roster.
Yeah, right.
Right? So what are you fighting? You're fighting to stay in the lineup, let alone how are you going to rock the boat to say, hey, wait.
Yeah.
Because before it happened.
Yeah, no.
Right? Gotcha. They're all gone. The floods come. Noah's got the boat. Right? And then you're on the top of the last mountain going, I guess looks okay. Like we're screwed.
Gotcha.
So I like, Jordy's a smart guy. And so his, I know his career lasted long. So you got to look at it from when guys came in. But so the league didn't do anything to help it. But it's also too, but let me come back because it brings up something that you look at what happened last year with Tom Wilson, right? And Panarin in New York. But you look at to your question about culture and old school. Well, if you're going to implement it back, who did they hire? They hired a Gerard Gallant, Spuddy, who played with Stevie for so long. Mm-hmm. We know he's one of those guys that you'd look at the roster and go, okay, you probably won't have to fight him unless you do something, but he will fight and he's tough. And what do they do with the moves, right? They signed Goudreau off of that Tampa Bay grind line, for a better word, that won back-to-back cups, and they traded for Ryan Reeves. So
that's
not happening, and Ryan Reeves is one of the toughest guys in the league. So there is a few guys around there, and it's so – you got it. The game's different, man. It's like you're trying to play checkers and chess, but you don't.
Okay.
So the extinction question is, it was always going to happen.
Okay.
That makes sense, though, because I think a lot of the power forward, the quintessential power forwards, the ones that were out there who were not necessarily the tough guy, but they were willing to drop the gloves if need be. You know, I think of guys like Shanahan.
Shanny's the goal scorer. Like Shanny's a proverbial power forward.
Right.
Right. Where it was like I always looked at myself and you know, like Mark, like, but I was like the light heavyweight, but also too that in betweener, right? But I wasn't the power forward scorer, but it wasn't I was more valuable than the enforcer guy because
you can score.
Well, I could. You know, that's the beauty of the grind line. What made the grind line so special is that, and I don't know, Drake would do this all the time, is that, oh, big boys aren't scoring tonight. Grind line, go. And all of us, all four of us, at different points scored huge part. But that was, and that's Coach, that's Scotty, that's us playing against the greatest players in the world for years. Gosh darn it, I touched the puck more in the game and I didn't touch it that much, but more than I didn't practice playing against Nick Lidstrom. You don't touch the puck. It's a covert bag skate. You don't get to touch the puck in practice. Covert bag skate, go play with Nick.
I believe that.
Yeah.
Bag skate is a reward.
That's right. Nice segue, Tom. Nice segue.
One of the rewards is called bag skate on Donnybrook, book 3.
That's right.
So, Dom, let's talk about a couple of your other projects, because you have got the opportunity to work on a couple of books with some great WWE legends, you know,
right.
Rowdy Piper, Davey Boy Smith. So can you talk to us a little bit about how those opportunities came your way?
Yeah, so I don't know if you're familiar with Eric Hodson Illustrations, but he has one of the coolest setups. He has classic comic book covers. And instead of the actual comic book cover, he inserts professional wrestlers. So I've given him a few ideas for some of my hands on there, but they are absolutely phenomenal. If you're on your phone or anything, look up Eric Hodson illustration. So Eric was approached by Pro Wrestling Tees. And they have Pro Wrestling Tees is a great company that has contracts with a lot of these current wrestlers and retired guys, legends, everything. So Pro Wrestling Tees approached Eric and myself, and hey, you know, they actually came to us first with another project. I can't talk about, the NDA is still active, but it didn't work out. And he's like, oh man, I can't believe it. He goes, well, would you be okay with doing a Rowdy Roddy Piper comic? I'm like, yeah, I think that would be okay.
So I think I'll make it. I suppose.
So we came up with an idea to do take Roddy, most of his personality, and change it a little bit to be the Kilted Avenger, a talk show host by day and vigilante by night. It's a lot of fun. We have all kinds of cameos from Mick Foley, Tony Schiavone. Oh, that's awesome. Bruce Pritchard, Conrad Thompson, Hacksaw Jim Duggan. So it's a blast. You can turn your brain off, read this comic, and have a good time. And nice. And the next book in that series is British Bulldog UK Defender. So I can't give too much about that away, the storyline, yet, but it's a lot of fun.
He defends the United Kingdom.
And you know, we're gonna have an Indiegogo next year on that book as well. But I've got to meet the Georgia, his daughter, who runs the Bulldog Estate, as well as Diana Hart Smith, Bulldog's ex-wife, and Harry Bulldog Jr., who is a really big boy, 6'5". I think he's almost north of 300 pounds, but a really good guy. The whole family was very, very nice and just kind of gave me carte blanche to write the story. And we've done hockey jerseys for Roddy Piper, as well as British Bulldog, the Good Brothers, and we have some other exciting stuff, really, really exciting, that I try not to get too excited about coming down the pipeline as far as hockey jerseys and merchandise, resin statues and stuff like that.
That's awesome. So that's cool. Some really cool collectible merch then. All right, so Dom, let me ask you this. Out of all the stories that you've written, what's the one story that you want to write that you haven't written yet? What's the one that you keep putting off, that's sitting on the shelf? You go, I got to get this out of me, but you haven't done it yet.
Well, I got it out of my head, and I'm waiting for the right time. I think it's going to be the next 2 years. It's my high school stories. It's going to be called American Enterprise. And what it is about a kid that went to an all-boys private high school and sold porn out of a post office box.
Out of what?
Out of his post office box. Yes, this is
excellent. Yeah,
okay. Twine's my guy.
That's something I wanted to do before anything else. It just, I need to establish a fan base in order. People aren't just going to go and buy a story like that unless they're like, all right, Dom, I'll give this one a try. One of those
right,
deals.
Right.
We all knew that guy in high school.
That's right. That's right.
I mean, everybody knows that guy in high school.
Right.
There's the one guy, you know, you knew. You could go talk to this guy because he had your weed.
Right.
You could go talk to that guy because he had your liquor. And you could talk to that guy because he had, you know, his stash of dad's Playboys.
He's a greasy dude.
Exactly.
Very much so.
I don't know if you guys know this, but the greasiest dude that we know is Dom.
That's right.
It's just for using his, we like to accentuate and spotlight the strengths. So that's it. He actually got a haircut for you guys. You were looking really greasy last week.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to try to help you out of this trap of being greasy. Talk a little bit about your frozen fish fiasco, because it's a great event. Just tell us a little bit.
Cold and greasy, that
great,
one.
Great segue.
Dude,
thank you.
Great segue into the Jaromir Jagr Mullet Award.
That's right.
That they give out every year for the greatest mullet of the tournament.
Right. So I found this great place, Clark Park in Detroit. They have the last full-size outdoor hockey rink in Detroit or Metro Detroit.
It's actually, if you're driving down the exit right before off to Canada, so right down 75, right in the heart, and it's awesome. I've been doing stuff with them since the 90s. Ziggy Gonzalez. Introduced me to Mexican Town, and the best part is, like, out there, it's, and to watch it grow, but give the kids down there somewhere an opportunity to, you know, just do something different, you know, not be stuck, but have an option in school. Go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. So it's funny that you mentioned that because I played hockey my whole life, you know, and I was in a tournament in Canada every weekend playing for Little Caesars or CompuWare or any of those organizations. And my dad actually worked at the produce terminal across the street, the Detroit Produce Terminal. And I would drive there when I would work for my dad and when I was going into Canada to play tournaments. And I never knew Clark Park was there. This whole time, I never knew it until I was playing men's league and somebody's like, hey, you should check out this rink. We want to play there and just, you know, have a pickup game. I'm like, sure. And I went down there. I fell in love with the people and the incredible rink that they have right in the middle. It's like Field of Dreams. It's just like all this the city and roads and everything, and then a hockey rink almost for no reason, and then it keeps going. But it's been there. Cool. And so I decided to, and I knew every single year they're in danger of closing because it's expensive to do an indoor hockey rink, much less an outdoor hockey rink. So I'm pretty good at event planning, and I decided I'm going to make a charity out of this and get a 501c3, and every year it was getting more and more popular. And I decided, as I said before, I played hockey all over Canada and everywhere, and the tournaments all kind of run the same. It's kind of like a convention. You're inside, there's four walls, and there's cement. Same with hockey, it's like, you don't even know where you're playing. There's not like, there didn't have any type of character to these tournaments. So I wanted to do something different, something memorable. You know, the park is beautiful by itself, but I wanted to have things that occur at this event that people would remember. So, you know, we named it the Frozen Fish Fiasco. That's hard to forget. It's a stupid mahi-mahi that I caught in Cancun, sat in my garage for 10 years. I'm like, that is the trophy. That doesn't make any sense, but it was perfect. And so we have stormtroopers that give the alumni Detroit Red Wings their security on the way to the rink. You know, we've got Darth Vader there. Another thing that doesn't really make a lot of sense, but it's just cool. We have, like Darren mentioned, the Jaromir Jagr Mullet Memorial Trophy. It's a giant statue of the great Jaromir Jagr's incredible 93 mullet. And
it's a classic.
Yeah, it goes to the greatest hockey hair of the entire tournament, or the entire event. But we have all kinds of cool things. We have championship belts that Darren mentioned. Each team, we have about 13 games, and each winning team gets a championship belt. And we had local television coverage of the event. It's a really good time, and we've raised over 150 grand for the park in the past 12 years.
Oh, that's awesome, man.
Congrats.
When does that usually happen?
It's last weekend or first weekend in January, February, outdoors in the cold in Detroit. Okay. So you expect a lot of sunshine and palm trees. It's really good. Wear some shorts.
Okay. All right. All right, well, Darren, let's talk about some wrestling, because I know that you have a big match coming up.
Oh, you're going to get my attention.
Okay.
Now you're feeding my, like you said, my favorite sport.
Let's just start off easy. Who are some of your favorites?
Stone Cold's my all-time favorite. The Attitude, the, you know, the society back in the day, back in the 90s when we were winning, it was always, I was Stone Cold, Matthew Dannon, it was The Rock, because being French, he had that sort of rock look, and he could do all the looks, and then we made Mike Knuble Mankind, and we'd hit him with chairs around the corner and just abuse the hell out of him. Dude, I used to spear guys over the couch in the locker room. And, you know, it was nuts, so it was always cool. Actually, there's
you appeared on Raw.
Yeah, yeah. I whacked Bob Holly, went to hit D'Lo Brown. Can't hit a guy from Detroit with a hockey stick. I caught him, broke it over Bob Holly, and helped him with the win. So, watched Stone Cold smash the Zamboni. You know, it was cool back in the day to meet a lot of those guys, too. Got to be good friends with Chris Jericho and, you know, like to follow throughout. And, you know, he's always been, you know, growing up, I always wanted to be Rick Tocchet, right? So Rick Tocchet played, you know, won the Cups with Pittsburgh, played the Flyers, scored. But, you know, so I learned that I'm pretty good at watching people and that I admire and try to follow what they do. So what Chris Jericho does, reinvents himself, you know, the Talkers Jericho, he's got the band, you know, just doing him to the best, but it's about him and who he surrounds himself with. So he's always been one of my favorites in that. And I'm like, what I love about wrestling is just, it's in, and the comms in general is it's okay at different parts of your life to pick up or put down. You know, that's a beautiful part. You know, things like I listen to. I'm that guy when I sit at home and one of the TVs is on whatever sport I have, because I do Woodward sports and I love all sports, and so whatever sporting events on to keep up to date. But the other ones I'm on YouTube watching wrestling, doing different things, because I love it. But I love the psychology. Now I'm fortunate to be able to get to know a lot of these local guys and get to behind the scenes. So my biggest thing is, and it's not like I'm not trying to be a wrestler, but I'm trying to give it enough respect, like I do with everything else that I get involved in, to get in the ring. And I'm not afraid to take a bump. If you explain the why, I mean, go ahead, whack me, bleed me, whatever, like this. If the storyline plays out, everything's about the storyline, whether we're talking the comic books, whatever, where are we going and who's coming for the journey, right? It's pretty simple. I used to say, if I'm not, I don't care what you're doing, but if I'm not doing it, don't do it near me. Or I used to say, hey, I'm not here to argue, I'm here to answer your questions. No, I'm either here to fight or answer your question. So that way, if you're not doing, I don't care what you're doing, not doing, if you're not doing what I'm doing, then you better double F off, right? Because I got, and it's not me. I ain't fighting by myself no more, right? Because I don't have to. And that's what everybody out there realizes, that no matter what, you're not alone, right? So that's the whole thing, the connection. I want to be connected to different things. Like, man, did you know that on Pop Culture Addicts, you might get a little bit of a nugget as to what happened to one of somebody back in over the COVID that we all watched and been. I'm just saying, like, stuff like that, that's what I'm talking about. That's a connection. But life's like wrestling, right? Life's like wrestling.
And it is.
To the bottom line is to listen to how much fun, and then my friends that are wrestlers, and I say, man, you look like you're having a blast, and they say, yes. Right, so whatever it is.
Matt got caught watching wrestling. He was late to practice. And
oh my God.
It is that.
So this one went in the book. So, yeah. So you want to know when I stepped, right? So back in, and we were on the Hulk days, but this is even pre-NHL, back in junior.
Okay.
We had to be on the ice at 12 o'clock. Remember that Saturday Raw?
Yeah.
That used to run to 12:01?
Yes.
Right? Used to run over. Yes. Well, there's four of us watching the end of it like this, and we had to be on the ice, and we shouldn't be late. We walked out like 30 seconds, right, after the coach walked in the room and ripped the TV off the wall, slammed it down. We never got to watch wrestling again, so.
And he bagged you. Bag skated you.
Yeah, well, and bad skate, which, by the way, Indiegogo, Donnie bro. You can get a bag skate, too. Not the same one. Yeah, we got bag. Bag skated anyways, bro, but the boy in the TV. So I'd say today, but you know, when you talk about that, I love stuff that ties into either when I'm growing up or just the simple things like what the AEW just did with the Bullet Club, which forced me to go back 6-7 years into Japan and see, wait, what was this and what is this and how does this, and when they connect stories from the past and how they're doing it, because to me, that's artistry. That's the wrestling is the greatest stunt men and women out in the world doing the most violent dance. Right, and it's such poetry. I made the mistake of getting in the ring, right? Because I liked it too much. Because I enjoyed that there's somewhere for the crazy to go. Now I'm gonna be doing like a pit match, death match, barbed wire match in a couple weeks, up in a pay per view. But again, it's because it plays into the story. And if me getting a little color helps get some shine on some of the local talent. Yeah, I'm a team player. You know me, guys, growing up, I'd do that, I believe, for anybody.
All heart, that's for sure. So, first off, on behalf of John, I just want to say thank you guys for your time to sit down and talk with us, answer a few questions. It means a lot. Dom, where can people find out more about Mess Bucket Comics and everything that you're doing over there?
Yes, at messbucketcomics.com you can find everything. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at Mess Bucket Comic. But right now, until November 1st or so, you can head over to donnybrookcomic.com and have all kinds of really cool rewards. Not all of them are going to be available the whole time. Some of them are limited. If you want to interview people in Donnybrook and have your name and face and have some actual talking lines in the comic, there's one of those left. What was that one called, John?
That one, I believe, was called Donnybrook. You're the Donnybrook.
You're in Donnybrook, yes. Yeah, so cool stuff like that. You can be in the crowd at one of the games and bang on the glass, chirp the players, tell the ref to fuck off, you know, whatever you want to do. It's going to...
You can be greasy like Dom.
That's right. Here's your chance.
Darren, where can folks find you on social media?
Blue check marks on Instagram and Facebook, Darren McCarty 4 on Twitter, and do what I do every morning. Go to DarrenMcCarty.com and see where you're going to be that day.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Tim Beisiegel and myself talking to Dom Riggio and Darren McCarty from the Sports in Comics panel that just took place about a month ago at the Monroe Pop Fest. Thank you, Dom. Thank you, Darren, for taking a little bit of time out of your schedule over the weekend to sit down and chat with us. Really do appreciate it. And I hope that you really enjoyed this episode. And you got to let me know if you did, please. And let me tell you a couple different ways you can do that. You can get a hold of me by obviously shooting me an email if you like. JohnOrlando@pvdcast.com is my email address. You can also leave me a comment over on the Facebook and Instagram feeds of the PVD Cast. And again, that's at PVD Cast. Or you can find me on Twitter. My personal Twitter handle is at PVDMVP. And don't forget that you can get this podcast a bunch of different places. Obviously, PVDcast.com, the online home of yours truly, is probably the premier place to go. But it's also available through all of those major podcasting outlets. All you have to do is go to the search bar, put in PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put my name after it, and you should find it. And most importantly, if you listen to an episode, please rate, review, and subscribe. Rating and reviewing helps me out in the algorithm. And of course, subscribing means you never miss an episode of the PVD Cast. And there's even a quicker way to check out the PVD Cast each week, and that's to join the Facebook broadcast that I do every Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can check out the episode, and I'm even available to answer questions if you drop any in the comment section or whatnot. So once again, that's over the Facebook page at PVD Cast. Monday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Check it out if you get the chance to do so. All right, I didn't get an opportunity to fit in one more plug for my great sponsor, World's Greatest Comics. And so I'm going to do it right here, right now. Again, World's Greatest Comics has everything for your comic book fandom. They've got single issues, graphic novels. They've got collectibles. They've got toys. They've got hundreds and hundreds of back issues. They have a world-class pull system. They have a friendly staff. They have it all. They are like the five-star comic book store here in Central Ohio. And if you want to stop by the store, you can do so by just swinging by 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. Or you can check them out online. WGComics.com is their website. And their Facebook page is at WGComics. With that, ladies and gentlemen, it's been a heck of an episode, so I'm going to get on out of here. So I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, and stay safe and healthy. Production of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2021.